Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Scott Eckersley here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our first guest, as we do each Friday at this time, Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Hello, Bill.
How you doing, Jack?
Good. I understand you've been doing a little traveling on your way back from Washington, D.C.?
That is correct.
Well, I'm sure that you know about the budget situation here and the fact that there were no sleepovers. And
disaster in the nick of time.
Yes, very few pillows. We were looking to see what the count was this year. We are, however, looking for winners and losers, and did the people at the state capitol do their job, or did they just defer it?
Well, specifically, I think they did their job in that, yes, they did get a budget finally put together before the start of the fiscal year. But seriously, Jack, I think in a larger sense, and I think this is what the population recognizes, they failed again. This was a budget that was kicking the can down the road one more time, as they've done arguably for eight straight years. And there were no major breakthroughs in terms of a recognition of constant deficit in cash flow compared to the expectations of funding for various programs that the laws say we are supposed to fund on a year-in, year-out basis. And they took way too long to get this done. You don't wait right up until the eve of the start of the fiscal year on October 1st to pass the budget. You should have passed this budget. They did pass part of it, obviously, the school aid part, back in the early summer, and that was good. But then they waited way too long to get the rest of it done.
Bill, are we any further along than we were one year ago in terms of recognizing the structural problems we have in the state?
No, we're obviously not. I mean, let's put it this way. We're maybe farther along in realizing that these structural problems are simply not going to disappear overnight simply because another year has passed. But, you know, we could have made the same observation about a structural deficit in 2004, 2007, 2009, and this year nothing has changed. Nothing has gotten better. Nothing miraculous has happened to transform what has been an untenable fiscal climate and fiscal situation, not only for state economy in general, but for the state budget in the last 10 years. The only hope we have right now is you're going to have a new governor and you're going to have a lot of new legislators. We're going to have over 80 new people in legislative office next January compared to the people who are there now. Some of those 80 are people who are moving to the Senate from the House, but they will have never served in the Senate before. So, you know, we've got a lot of new blood and a lot of people who have been on the outside looking in, realizing that we're in a terrible situation. Well, now they've got a chance to really do something about it, and they're not the people who have by and large been there over the last 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 years that have failed to act as decisively as they should have.
We know what didn't happen. Bill, do you see any indication that this new crop, whatever the formulation of it may be, would have the political will, the courage, and the ability to compromise to make progress here?
You know, Jack, I mean, I wish I could say yes. We should have hope that they will. But, you know, after so many years of disappointment, it's hard to have hope, except, as I say, for the fact that we are going to get so much new blood and new faces in the legislature, and I think a realization that things simply can't continue as they have been. I think, honestly, I've seen a little spark of movement and cooperation in the last couple of years. For instance, the House of Representatives formed this new bipartisan Democratic Republican coalition or caucus 2 years ago when they came in saying we got to work together. Well, they didn't really, you know, practically speaking, produce results that were dramatically different than anything we've seen before. But they were still working together, talking, trying to cooperate, being civil in a way that I hadn't seen in several years. And if you add to that group, and almost all of those people are going to be back next January, a new crew of people coming in this time, as I say, they're going to be over 50 in the House and they're going to be about 30 in the Senate. I'm hopeful that they're going to realize, look, we simply cannot continue this sniping and myth-gnawing and acrimony and backbiting and petty politics that we've had. The people are fed up with it.
Yeah, and I think that regardless of their political philosophy at this point, they're just tired of the impasses. They're tired of the log jams. And obviously, this is the way our government has been designed to run, or in this case, maybe to walk or crawl, but it's infuriating to a lot of people. Bill Ballinger, our guest, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Bill, most of the week here, people have been following this story with Assistant Attorney General Andrew Scherville. He's left the Attorney General's office on personal leave, but Mike Cox declined to do what a lot of people wanted him to do. Based on your knowledge of past situations, and I'm sure we haven't had one quite like this, would an attorney general be justified or in the right to take some disciplinary action here, or do freedom of speech provisions trump this?
Well, you know, I think he would be justified, and probably people would recognize it was the proper thing to do. Maybe he still will. You know, I don't know. The chapter isn't completely closed yet.
Right. This was an off-duty blog, for whatever that's worth, and it was attacking a gay student at the University of Michigan. Very interesting to see the reaction to it, and it's become a national story. It's been all over CNN the last couple of days, and I think maybe some people were thinking it would go away. Some of these things, especially in election year, tend not to go away.
Well, of course, it would be an even bigger issue if Mike Cox was still running for anything.
Correct.
The fact that he isn't and that he's a lame duck simply means that people concentrate on, really, as you put it, the question of whether or not disciplinary action of some sort should be taken. And again, it would seem to me something like this, particularly this is law enforcement. I mean,
yeah,
Mike
yeah.
Cox has always talked about, you know, he's the chief law enforcement officer of the state. You're hearing that kind of rhetoric between David Layton and Bill Schuette now running to succeed him. This is not, you know, an individual legislator, let's say, who had a staffer who did something like this. This is, you know, somebody from the Attorney General's office. And, I mean, I think that's just untenable. And, you know, there probably should be some punitive action taken beyond anything we've seen up to this point.
Mike Cox is not running for office, at least not publicly. It may be he may have something in mind, but we know someone who is, and that is Lansing Mayor Democratic gubernatorial candidate Virge Bernero. Despite what the polls say, he's not only running, he's sprinting up a steep hill here. And I'm wondering if he's been channeling John Engler, trying to figure out exactly how that happened. It just seems like he's almost running out of time with one debate and 4 weeks left.
You mean John Engler back in 1990? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Against
well,
Jim
John
Blanchard.
Engler was never as far behind Jim Blanchard in 1990 as Virgil Bernero has been. I mean, the analogy is more, I hate to say it, with Jeffrey Figer in 1998. I mean, Figer was behind Engler in 98 by roughly the same margin that Bernero's been behind Snyder in this election. Engler was consistently behind Blanchard, but it was anywhere from, you know, 7 to 11 points or whatever, and it's where nobody really saw the surprise coming that actually happened on Election Day in 1990.
Yeah.
I just think the thing that Bernero's got to keep doing is trying to chip that lead down from way up there, 20 points or whatever, down to the point where people are talking about this being a competitive race going into the final week. Maybe it's 7 or 8 points. Yeah. Even then, it would be tough, but it's not inconceivable that Bernero could pull it off. You can't make it up usually all at once. I'm sure Bernero is hoping maybe he can in the single debate they're going to have on Sunday, October 10th, but that's unlikely.
In one debate, I don't know that Abraham Lincoln could make up 20 points.